A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and joining me as ever is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Wow, Captain Marek Larwood.
Sorry, joining me as ever is Captain Reverend.
No, not Reverend.
No, just the Captain. What are you Captain of?
My own ship.
Is this a real ship?
Well, I have decided that I am a vessel.
Yeah, for...
myself.
For seamen.
Yeah.
Sure.
So therefore
you are captain of it.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
I really should be admiral, but I'm not that much in control of myself.
Also, admirals are in charge of many vessels, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm a captain. I'm a sort of part-time captain.
Part-time? Who's in charge of your vessel?
Well, I'm not fully in control. I'm not master.
Sure, occasionally.
There will be mistakes and errors.
Are you hiring a first officer at the moment to look after it when you're asleep?
I should do.
You really should, because you never know what it will be doing.
If you would like to be the first officer of the good ship, Marek,
yeah.
Please apply via our website.
Or you can simply go to your nearest street corner and scream random noises into the sky. That's another way.
My name.
Yeah, just scream.
My name, also number 4.
It's over and over again until Marek finds you. This is Film Fandango. We'll be talking about films. We are lucky enough this week as well to be sponsored by HerFilmProject.com, which, if you haven't heard about it, is an initiative to help inclusivity in film. So if that is trying to promote female characters or ethnic minority characters or minority sexualities or whatever it may be, if you are trying to get your film made, then maybe they can help you. Go to HerFilmProject.com or follow at Her Film Project on Twitter. You're looking pensive, Marek. What are you?
I was looking out of the window at the flats in the distance.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And there was an unsavoury character who's now moved out of my window shot.
It's odd, isn't it? Because usually you can only see the green leaves of the trees whilst this. But of course, in winter, the leaves are gone.
So it's more like rear window.
The sinister flats are now revealed to us, yeah.
Yeah. I know this because when I've been working in the woods chopping down trees, my little brother...
You hate trees, don't you? You kill them for a living.
No, well, that's the thing. I thought, it's bad chopping down, but we actually chopped down the hazel, which block up and clog up, hasn't grown properly. It's supposed to grow straight if it's really... If hazel is managed as a tree, it grows straight so it can be used for making fences and things like that.
Right.
But otherwise, it clogs up some of the woodland.
It's a greedy tree, isn't it?
Yes, it takes all the water away from the nice...
Water and the light.
From the ash trees and actually disrupts the wildlife. So next time you see someone chopping down the trees, think, oh, actually, that might be a bad tree.
It might just be a dick tree.
Yeah.
The hazel. Hazel. Well, if you see a hazel tree on your walks around...
An unkempt one.
Why not... Kick it in the bark. Kick it right in its bark.
Yeah, kick its dick off.
Yeah, sure. I saw a film this week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it? Dick Kicker?
It wasn't the Dick Kicker. Have you seen Dick Kicker?
You don't need that, do you? If you're going to call your film...
No, Dick Kicker is
Dick
fine.
Kicker's a really good one.
I mean, it's got a good sound to it, actually, hasn't it?
That's the sort of film that Film Project would fund with, Dick Kicker.
Dick Kicker. I don't know, I think quite the opposite. It depends who Dick Kicker is.
A really angry woman.
It's a strong female lead, Dick Kicker.
Yeah.
who prosecutes private investigators.
Well, it could be a football player.
Dick Kicker?
Yeah.
It depends how you say it.
It's all in the intonation.
It is.
If you know a word, it has different intonations.
No, we're not asking people to invent in words. This isn't a podcast about everything and nothing. I saw a film this week. Do you want to hear about it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
What was it?
Okay, I saw The Girl with All the Gifts, which is based on a book that I believe you have read.
Yes, it is by M.R. Carey, is that right?
Quite possibly.
M.R. something, because I think he has the same initials as me, which is M.R. So when I got letters...
Mike Carey, yeah. Who wrote the screenplay as well as the novel.
When I got letters, he probably had the same problem with me, as you get them delivered to Mr.
Mr. Larwood.
That's why. I changed my name to Captain.
It's why I didn't become a doctor, because I would just be Dr. Doctor.
Yeah.
With my initials.
Yeah, Dr. Doctor, I've got a...
Exactly, I'd be a joke. I'd
just
be
on my dog.
How does it smell?
If you know how it smells, why not write in to Dear Who?
Stop clogging up our inbox with all this crap.
M.R. Carey is one of the shining lights of British science fiction writer who's got quite a big following.
Right.
Cult following.
Well, The Girl with All the Gifts is a British film starring Gemma Arterton, Paddy Considine, and Glenn Close. So it's got a good cast.
Yeah.
And.
Who plays the girl?
I think that Sania Nanua. I think that's
a relative of mine.
Is that from the Nanowas?
Yes.
From your mother's side. It is about a little girl who is seemingly... She's in this institution where they're all wheeled around like tiny, cute Hannibal Lecters, all these kids. And you're not quite sure what's going on, and it slowly transpires that they have been infected with a virus that has infected the world in order to try
to find a cure. They're sort of like living zombies, aren't they?
Yeah, they're living zombies because I think the zombie virus has been put into fetuses or something. I can't remember.
Diet Pepsi.
What? Why did he just say Diet Pepsi?
I don't know.
What did that have to do with anything? Are you getting Tourette's?
No, I'm just... Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, right.
You're getting Tourette's.
No. So, basically... It's a zombie film that pretends it isn't for the first 20 minutes and then is a zombie film.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it started out brilliantly in that it's really interesting that the main character is this strange girl who appears to have feral, cannibalistic instincts and yet is just a girl who doesn't know any different. It's soon turned into every zombie thing I've ever seen. But just with a smaller budget and less action. And
I think that was the same in the book. Felt like there was a very good idea.
Yes,
which became the exact ending that I think I read before.
Yes, I have to say I got bored. I got bored of it. It's been reviewed very well. And
did it get a cinema release?
Yes, it did. It did. Yeah, possibly only in Britain. But it may just be me. Lots of people have enjoyed this film, but I am just a bit done with the zombie genre. It feels like as soon as you've got humans who want to survive and they've got to trek through destroyed cities like they're jungles, getting past lots of shambling zombies, it's like, well, there's only so many things you could... you're doing the same thing as everyone's always done before, and it's just a bit tedious, you know?
I've read quite a lot of End of the World books, and it's always the same, trying to get to a place that's sort of safe haven amid the apocalypse.
Exactly.
What else can really happen?
And one of you is a scientist who's probably... not quite caring enough to be... they're probably going to be a villain by the end.
There's always one arsehole.
One of you's going to get bitten and hide it. It's all of the same old shit. You know, but this is... I don't watch The Walking Dead, which... do you watch The Walking Dead? Because people seem to absolutely love that.
I read the graphic novels, and I think I read the first 12 books, and I was so depressed by the end of it. And it was just the same of just relentless cycle of death.
Mm. Yeah. But that seems to be what people want. It's odd. I may have talked about this before on the podcast. I don't know. But certainly it seems the zombie genre started as a satire of commercialism. You know, just brainless consumption. And has now turned into pornography for frustrated people who just want to kill everyone around them. It's become... Imagine if you got a gun and you got to just kill without guilt everyone
around
you. Well,
I'm going to talk about a zombie film as well in the second half of the one that I've chosen. But at what speed were the zombies in this?
They're proper shambling slow zombies, yeah. Although they do occasionally sort of lurch, I suppose. They lurch and run occasionally, but they're the kind that you can sort of wander amongst, and if you don't make any loud noises, they won't even notice you're there.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing.
It's a bit like Dawn of the Dead sort of What's the one with the shopping mall?
That's the original one, isn't it?
The second
one.
Dawn
of the Dead.
The second one, isn't it?
Night
of Living Dead, which is the first one.
Yeah, and Dawn of the Dead is the famous. Well, the one they remade.
When they've just got blue faces, really.
Yeah.
And a great keyboard soundtrack.
And actually, a really good remake. I thought the remake of Dawn of the Dead was excellent.
I thought it was good as well, yeah.
Really funny, and you know, it did it properly. Well, you know, it's a good genre. It's just been overdone for me. I've seen it too much. You know, Glenn Close is brilliant, really watchable. I rewatched her in 101 Dalmatians the other day, and she's fantastic as Cruella de Vil.
But the cartoon of that is
I know it's better, but you know what? What I actually hadn't appreciated at the time about that film is that they don't overdub the animals at all. Every single animal scene is just...
Talking animal.
They don't talk. You probably don't remember if you haven't seen it, but the animals are just animals. They don't talk. So it's all just dogs acting like dogs. Like they do the slapstick sequences and all of that, but they never do that thing of going, "Oh, Daddy, I just want to get home." All of that crap.
Yeah.
I hate that. Whereas, you know, at least it's animals that can't talk. But anyway... and Paddy Considine's in it.
If you're a dog, shut up.
Shut up, mate. And Paddy Considine's always great. I think he's fantastic. You know, he's very good. And you know what? I think Gemma Arterton is underused as well. I think she's very good. But it's just... it's not really my genre.
People going to a place to find a safe haven. I am going to talk about much the same after the letter section.
All right, well, let's get on with it. It's time for this.
I've got a letter.
Okay.
From only the most valuable voiceable player of 2016.
David Reed?
No, Rob Marland. Here we go. Here it is. Hello. I have a couple of titles to add to your pile of listener suggestions. First up is Tokyo Drifter, a 1960s Japanese Yakuza movie directed by Seijun Suzuki, I'll probably pronounce that wrong, who sadly kicked the bucket today, 23rd of February, it's dated. Suzuki was fired by a studio for his bizarre visual style, a total injustice because this film looks great. It's rammed with blood-red muzzle flashes, impromptu pop videos, and product placement for hairdryers. The second is Tokyo Story, a drama about an elderly couple who take a trip to Tokyo to visit their grown-up children, none of whom have any time for them. It will tear at your heart. It topped Sight and Sound's director's poll a few years ago and is my favourite film. Although when anyone asks me my favourite film is, I say Groundhog Day because I don't want to come across as pretentious. You can skip Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. And he says he's written Iga o Miru Suzukuro. I pronounced that wrong, but from Rob Marlin, so that is what he's written.
So, Tokyo Drifter.
Tokyo Drift. No, Tokyo Drift. And Tokyo Story.
Tokyo Story.
No.
Okay. Well, we'll add those to the list. I'm enjoying our list. We're actually getting through it a bit as well, which is exciting. Yes, I've not seen that film, so I look forward to it. Shall I add it now? I'm typing it. I'm typing it in.
Here's another letter. Do you want to read it out?
Yes.
You're good at reading.
I'm okay.
Well, do your best, mate.
Thank you. This is from Caleb Tanner, and he says, "Hello, film fandanglers, buddy, His Royal Highness Chris Webb, guest, and Danielle." And he says, "Nah, no accent required. Can you help me, please? I am stranded in New Zealand enduring a midlife crisis, living in a 10-year haze of children's films with the odd grown-up film thrown in. As a result of my circumstances, I've started to seriously doubt my judgment. There are two films that I have seen and enjoyed. Number one being Wild Bill, directed by Dexter Fletcher. The other is Ill Manners, directed by Ben Drew, aka Plan B. Wild Bill was in a holiday cottage and we put it on just on the off chance it might be good. We did enjoy it, but the alcohol might have helped. I thought Fletcher's Eddie the Eagle was good family entertainment. The kids enjoyed it, which is not always a good sign. Ill Manners was a deliberate choice and turned out to be quite Shakespearean, for want of a better word. Some of the acting is a little wooden, but the film has stayed with me, which is always a good sign. Have you seen either of these films? If so, can you confirm whether or not I am a total half-wit with no idea? Thank you for the excellent podcast. I have been a listener since the absolute days. Kind regards, Caleb." And he says, "P.S. Films that you have recommended that I've really enjoyed are The Raid, Just Incredible, World's Greatest Dad." Of course! Thank you for those gems.
I've not recommended either of those.
What, The Raid or World's Greatest Dad?
No.
Well, Lizzie Roper brought in World's Greatest Dad, which is a film starring Robin Williams, we've not talked about in a while. But if you ever saw the DVD cover, you would just avoid it like the plague, because it looks total shit, and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Really good. And The Raid is for violence fans. You can't get any better.
It was just better than Judge Dredd that came out at the same time.
I really like Dredd. I really like
Dredd. They're both good.
People compare them because they have almost identical stories and came out at the same time. But they are very different films.
I have not seen Wild Bill.
I've not seen Wild Bill, and I've not seen Ill Manners. Neither of they both sort of have always struck me as that kind of, I'm a geezer kind of a film that I always find shit. But that's just my prejudice, but really.
I have seen the other two Dexter. Wild Bill's supposed to be really, really good.
Is it?
I saw Sunshine on Leith, which I didn't like at all.
Right.
And only yesterday I watched Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, right. What did you think?
I thought it was sublimely average.
Oh, because it's got the kid from...
The Kingsman.
Kingsman in it, and Hugh Jackman, weirdly, isn't it?
I just think that people were raving about this performance from the Taron Egerton.
Yes.
That's Ed of the Eagle. I've always terrible.
Right.
It reminded me of Ricky Gervais's Gurning in Derek.
Right.
Where you just pull one face for... Eddie Eagle seemed really two-dimensional.
Have you met him?
Yes. He comes round my house.
I have met him.
Every other day. But what's he like? What a nice bloke.
He's an absolutely lovely bloke, yeah.
Yeah.
He does look a bit like that, though.
But all the time, doing the pushing my chin out and doing this sort of half Ricky Gervais, Derek face.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought... And it's a great story, the Eddie Eagle story. I remember doing my, at middle school, doing a Winter Games project, the Calgary Olympics of 1988, following it all, when Eddie Eagle was massive. I just don't think, at the start, you think, oh, this could be really, really good, where Eddie Eagle's sitting at his table, and he's really obsessed with the Olympics, and you see that he's left a stain using his hot chocolate of the Olympic rings on the on the table, and you think those are really nice touches, but then everything else in Eddie Eagle is completely predictable, like all the sort of evil sportsmen who don't take him seriously are all.
I assumed it was just going to be a remake of Cool Runnings when I saw the trailer.
I'd say it's a less good Cool Runnings.
Well, Cool Runnings is great. Yeah. I think I really like Cool Runnings.
I thought it was really disappointing. So I couldn't tell you what Wild Bill is like.
Okay, well
I met Dexter Fletcher, and he was a very, very nice man.
I
played poker with him.
Have you?
Yeah.
Dexter Fletcher is one of those characters who sort of endured for so long now in our culture, like in significant roles to a niche group of people. So like from Press Gang to Games Master to Lock Stock to, you know... and then it crops up in Layer Cake as well. And then he plays the dad in the Milla Jovovich Three Musketeers. He's like D'Artagnan's dad in that, and he's like, he's everywhere. He's brilliant.
One brilliant touch, though, which I loved, of Eddie the Eagle,
right,
for Press Gang fans, exclusively for Press Gang fans, is there's one cameo from a Sun reporter, and the reporter is the person who played the character Colin in Press Gang, who is a man called Paul Reynolds, who played the Wheeler D, the bloke Colin.
I've met him as well.
And he was this dodgy Sun reporter in two scenes, and it was almost exclusively for people. And I
but he's got a proper punchable face, so as a red top reporter, you'd believe him, wouldn't you?
But it was for Press Gang fans. I really love Press Gang. Yeah, amazing. Me too. It was just a real great.
Do you remember the episode when you thought Spike might have been killed?
I can't remember that.
Do you remember that? When there was anyway.
He did really well for it, didn't, for a while, and disappeared.
Yeah.
The bloke who played Spike.
Dexter Fletcher.
No, not Spike. The guy who played Lee God. Ross, who played Kenny Phillips. He was in loads of stuff for about 10 years ago.
Well, there you go.
I don't know if he's dead or not.
We will track down Wild Bill and or Ill Manners and get back to you on that one.
I'll tell you what.
What?
Talking recommendations.
Yes.
I've got a recommendation from... Do you remember Martin Appleyard?
I do remember Martin Appleyard.
He's been very quiet for a while. Martin Appleyard, who closely came runner-up in our fan... ultimate fan competition. Well, you know, was very controversial.
It was very controversial. There was all sorts of vote tampering... going on. But you know what that's reminding me of, Marek?
What?
It is a new year. So Chris Webb, his reign is over now.
We can't do it yet. We ain't
well, not yet, but
ago.
I'm just saying, he was 2016's greatest Film Fandango fan, but the 2017 is yet to be decided.
Oh, Chris Webb won't be happy about that.
No, he won't be.
So, Martin Appleyard recommended Train to Busan.
Okay.
And I thought, you know what? I'll watch this because I've not seen many Korean films.
And you like trains?
I regularly get on trains.
Yeah.
And I've not seen many Korean films, so I'll watch Train to Busan. Also, a zombie film.
Okay. Right, so we've inadvertently done a zombie double bill this week.
Double zombies.
Double zombs.
It's about a divorced dad. He's just a businessman. All he does is he works all day and he neglects his daughter.
Silly man.
And he goes to give her a birthday present to say, you know, that, oh, happy birthday.
Is it something she doesn't
buys
want?
Buys her a computer.
Well, that's pretty generous.
Yeah, but he got the exact same computer at Easter or some other celebration.
Well, you don't need computers that regularly.
Well, it means shows does.
He's not got any ideas, has he? He's not thinking about her. I hate this man.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, and all she wants to do for her birthday is to see her mum, who lives in Busan.
Right.
So eventually, agree. It's quite a way away on the train.
Okay.
Probably as far as
Durham,
Middlesbrough.
Oh, okay. So not as far.
I think Durham's about the right.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a good 3-4 hours away on the train, probably.
Okay.
I don't know Korea. If you do know Korea well,
maybe Newcastle then.
Yeah. So I mean, what on earth could make this father and daughter relationship, you know, could fix it?
Zombie apocalypse.
Exactamundo. There is nothing better than a zombie. If you have an irreparable family relationship,
why not invent a world-killing virus?
Why not you and the person that you've become estranged from go on a mission to go somewhere and witness a lot of other people being murdered, then you suddenly value each other?
It's the entire thing on a train.
Mostly, yes.
I like that.
Which, I mean, I like that about it. They are fast zombies, and it is 2 hours long. I'm going to say the same thing I always say, 20 minutes too long.
Right.
It is true. And it's quite nice when they set up the characters on the train. You can guess who, you know, you've got the guy in his baseball team with it. It's just, who are the gang going to be?
Who has accidentally brought weapons with them on a train?
Yeah, there's the which characters are there? You know, the guy with his pregnant wife.
Yeah,
who's going to die? I mean, I think the ideal thing to watch this film is you get a card that comes along with the film.
Yeah,
and you get the main characters and you watch 10 minutes, stop, and then you guess the death order.
Okay.
That would be a way to watch this film.
To add gambling to films. Is that what?
Yeah, death order. You come in and you get in, you play a drinking game thing where you get it wrong.
Well, there is a name for that game.
What's it called?
It's called the Deadpool. It's where Deadpool gets his name.
Oh, really?
Name.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah. So
it's
you do
a Deadpool.
You do that for this thing here. I really like the train thing. It's shot really well. Zombies are quite fast zombies. You're not going to see anything you haven't really seen before, but it's a good version of that. I will say you have to buy this film because it's not available to rent, and it was most sites at £10.
Oof.
But I found a New Zealand sort of other site which are called Wuaki TV, WUAKI.TV, and it has films that are a lot cheaper to buy than normal, than Apple and all that stuff.
How have they managed that?
I don't know. They're probably buying offshore things with my credit card.
That's
right,
probably it
right now. But it was still £7. So is it worth £7? Maybe not.
I thought you're going to watch it in the comfort of your own home, it's got to be cheaper than that.
Yeah, but I thought it was quite interesting to watch South Korean film. Really well. I mean, it's hard to film. I'll take my hat off because it's quite hard to film an action film
on a train. Yeah.
And have all the moving stuff and the different, and to have different bits that keep it interesting.
Yeah.
So if you're going to, it sounds though it's better than Go. Well, I give it seven, a mid seven Mareks, which is what it's got. 7.5. on IMDb, 72 Metascore, which is almost exactly right. And it's quite nice watching a zombie film in a place you don't really know much about,
because that is in itself alienating, isn't it? So it probably suits it.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
So I know what people are like, how people behave in the first place in Korea if they
don't know. What kind of zombie would you be?
Bald.
If you were, you'd be a bald zombie.
Yeah.
Would you run at people with your head?
I would take my teeth out and put them inside my bum.
Oh my god.
Pull my trousers down and jump in people's faces.
Oh no. You'd be like, oh, the big boss man zombie.
No one's been killed in that way, have they?
No, and there's a reason.
Literally, taking your own teeth out, that would be great. Everyone took their own teeth out, they ripped their gums out, put them up their bums,
and they jumped on people's heads.
Yeah.
Can they still bite? Do they get... Can they...
Well, there's only one way to find out.
To the bathroom!
If you have any spare dentures...
No, don't...
Why not send them in?
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
No one's done that. Has anyone that had teeth? There must be teeth in the bum in some film.
There's the film Teeth, which is about vaginal teeth, and that apparently fairly common male fear.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I went to my dentist for the first time in 10 years.
Where's this going?
And it turns out my mouth is a vagina.
Okay.
No, I've got a wisdom tooth out.
Oh, shit. What, under local anaesthetic?
I don't even know. I've got to go back next week and do it.
Oh, dear.
So next time you see me or hear me...
You might... It won't be any different then, will it?
But yeah, much the same. But I'll have an excuse.
You will have an excuse. Might something at least.
But I just think I'm a bit sick of... zombie. I think the zombies came back around again, didn't they? 28 days later.
Yeah.
28 weeks later.
Seemed to reinvigorate the genre as being a bit different.
With the far zombies.
Even they weren't zombies, but yeah, they were at the same time. But
it must cost a lot to do a zombie film, because the cast for this, you know, when you've got loads of zombies.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of makeup.
People are relatively cheap, aren't they? And zombie makeup's relatively cheap, unless they've got things hanging off them and stuff.
Yeah, but still, yeah. Just bring. Okay, everyone, you're going to be a zombie film. Wear your worst clothes and eat lots of this, and everyone eats some tomato sauce. Put it around. Eat this jam sandwich really badly, because it's all in your mouth.
No, eat it more badly than that.
Yeah. And then just move like you've got your elbowing your way through. A crowd. That's it. Really good. What you can't see now is David is doing some incredible high level zombie acting.
I've actually been in two live zombie shows, but I never got to be a zombie. I played the baddie and then the good guy in a live Halloween thing where you get chased by zombies.
What is your ratio of good guys to bad guys?
What, on television?
Yeah, in roles.
I mostly play assholes who are neither good guys nor bad guys, I guess. Mm. I'd love to play a proper villain, though. That would be more fun than anything.
Yeah, I've occasionally played villains.
Yeah? What kind of thing?
Bald ones.
Bald ones? With teeth in their bum?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It never came up, but you know.
A bald guy with teeth in it. If I can get that on Google to come up, bald guy with teeth in their bums, my face, first of all.
Then you'll have lived.
Somehow I will manage to get a part.
Yeah. Alright. Well, Google it after the show and see what comes up now so you can see what your competition is.
I'm feeling a bit depressed now.
Oh dear. Yeah, stop thinking about teeth.
No, because it started raining and I've got to go.
Oh dear. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Marek's got to go.
Into the rain.
That's enough about films. I would like to once again tell everybody that next week, as in next Wednesday, I'm recording a new podcast called Inside the Comedian, and it's going to be live at the Phoenix in London. And I would very, very much appreciate any Film Fandango fans who would like to come along to that.
Or in the future, to download it, because they might be listening to
this. Ultimately, but first things first, you know. Otherwise, I won't do it if it goes badly. So, you know, I'd like a full run.
In 2025, when this becomes...
Yeah, you're thinking very far ahead there.
When this becomes listening to the ultimate podcasts,
yeah,
it's protected by the American Film Academy or whatever it is as the go-to podcast to listen to.
The podcast Oscars.
Well, people say, "Well, what is the definitive film reviewing podcast? This will be it.
This will be it.
Children will be studying this."
After the fall of civilization, when only the podcasts remain.
A zombie listen to it.
Yeah. But yes, if you'd like to come see me recording a new podcast where me and comedians Michael Legg and Tom Bell talk rubbish, and Daniel Ward is also on the same evening for the same ticket price recording her new podcast.
What's Danielle's podcast called?
It's called Spooky Wookie Cocktail Hour, and it's her short stories and songs, sort of with a horror bent, and she's got a couple of actors doing that with her as well. But you can look for them for Inside the Comedian on We Got Tickets, or go to my website, MrDavidReed.com, click on Gigs, and you'll find it there. It'd be lovely to see you there.
It should be We Have Tickets, really, shouldn't it?
We have all the tickets.
Not We Got Tickets. What sort of world has this become?
We Got Tickets. Also, that means you've got a double T with got, then tickets, which is always confusing when you're typing out.
We Got Tickets, mate!
We
have tickets.
We Got Tickets. Me.
Sounds like they're all stolen. Oh, we got them tickets, mate!
If you'd like to write to us, then please go to the usual place, filmfandango.com, and fill out the form there, and we will get your message. Recommend us films. Tell us the worst film you have ever seen. Just bring up a topic of conversation. Anything you want to do, really.
If you need help.
If you're trapped down a well, and all you can do is access our website, then tell us about it.
If you can't get rid of the smell of piss,
just keep that to yourself. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Films. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.